Welcome to Morning Soap. At Fusion Church, our desire is to see everyone attend church and hear from God daily through His Word. The Bible reveals God's responses to various situations, and through daily devotions, we can reshape our thought patterns, transform our minds, and become more Christ-like. Join us here every Monday through Friday as different pastors and leaders from Fusion Church provide insightful devotions and teachings based on the day's scripture. For the current soap reading plan, visit fusionchurch.cc/soap and join us as we deepen our understanding and relationship with God.
Good morning, everyone. So good to see you. Whether you're live here on Zoom with us, watching later on podcasts, we are so excited to be pressing in together. We're going to be diving into Philippians chapter 4. And I know, especially with all of us watching live, I always have like the same two things I always say because I so deeply mean it. If you have a verse that stands out to you, be sure to share it. Definitely want to hear how God is speaking to you, things that stand out to you. So often we find out that God is actually speaking to us, and sometimes we just have to follow the things that He's highlighting. So I'm a big time when it comes to my Bible. I highlight, I make notes, I mess it up. I write all my one-liners that come to my mind in the margins. You know, I write other areas in the Bible that it relates to. I find that God so often is highlighting and making notes on things, and I don't want to be selfish and keep it to myself. So what I'm saying is, if He speaks to you today, if something is just standing out, share it in the chat. There are people who will be encouraged by it. There are people that will be inspired by it. So share it. And in tandem with that, if you have a question, we would love to answer it. All the people here love diving into different things that might just be popping up, like in a chapter like this that is so meaty and jam-packed that it sometimes can be hard to get to everything. If you have a question about something in there, we can make sure we prioritize and move to that area just so we can follow what the Spirit of God is doing. So, love seeing the chat already alive. Yes, I moved. Not this past weekend, but the weekend prior. It was smooth like butter. It was incredible. We were squad deep. The people showed up. I was so grateful. Fusion Church showed up and showed out. I stood in the truck the entire time and said, this goes here. And that is probably one of the dreams of anyone moving, is just to be able to say, this is where stuff goes. So Fusion Church, as always, showed up and did their thing. but so excited to be with you guys today. Philippians chapter 4, I'm going to be reading from the Christian Standard Bible if you want to follow along in that. If you prefer your own translation, we'll dive right on in. So let's pray and read. Father, thank you. Spirit of God, I just ask that you would speak to us today. Lord, I know you've got a word for everybody. So God, I just pray that you would highlight that word. We open our hearts to you. And God, I just pray, make the seed of your word go deep. We choose to open our ears. We choose to press into the realities of joy, peace, thinking properly. And God, I just pray that you would strengthen us in all these things today. In Jesus' name, come on, everybody said amen, amen, amen. All right. Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 1. It says, so then, my dearly loved and longed for brothers and sisters, my joy and crown, in this matter stand firm in the Lord, dear friends. I urge Euda and I urge Synthe, if anyone has the proper pronunciation, hit me up on Sunday because I always mess it up, to agree in the Lord. Yes, I also ask you, true partner, to help these women who have contended for the gospel at my side, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again. Rejoice. Let your graciousness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, through prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any moral excellence, and if there is anything praiseworthy, dwell on these things. Do what you have learned and received and heard from me and seen in me, and the peace of God will be with you. I rejoice in the Lord greatly, because once again you renewed your care for me. You were, in fact, concerned about me, but lacked the opportunity to show it. I don't say this out of need, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I find myself. I know how to make do with little. I know how to make do with a lot. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being content, whether well-fed or hungry, whether in abundance or in need. I am able to do all things through him who strengthens me. Still, you do well by partnering with me in my hardship. And you Philippians know that in the early days of the gospel, when I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the manner of giving and receiving except you alone. For even at Thessalonica, you sent gifts for my need several times. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the profit that is increasing to your account. But I have received everything in full, and I have an abundance. I am fully supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you provided, a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brothers who are with me send you greetings. All the saints send you greetings, especially those who belong in Caesar's household. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Come on, so good. Jam-packed chapter. As we're reading it, if you weren't familiar with Philippians chapter 4 before, you will notice that this one chapter has so many coffee mug sayings inside of just this one chapter. Maybe you pretty much have read, let's say, like the broad overview just by walking through Hobby Lobby and seeing wall art. But this chapter is like printed absolutely everywhere. I've walked through different churches and basically seen Philippians chapter 4 tattooed on like six or seven different people all over the place. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Come on, the peace of God surpasses all understanding. Hey, don't worry about everything, but in everything, right? Come on, prayer and petition. There's so much meat inside of this one chapter. I always want to echo this. If something's standing out to you, share it. We want to be able to hear it. In tandem, if you have a question, let's actually unpack it, because chapters like this, I always find give us like the fine bullet points of things to do inside of our lives. But many times the application is the thing that we just have to unpack and press into. So as we're kind of unpacking that application, if you got something, ask it. We just want to journey alongside you. So let's break this sucker down. We're going to go one piece at a time. Kicks off, and this is something just to note, just kind of like context around text. So Philippians, while we call it a book, is really a letter. So it is a letter to the church in a place called Philippi. So in the same way that we have both of our fusion churches in Egg Harbor Township and Newfield, if there was a letter written by Paul to our churches, it would really just say the church in Newfield. And what would happen is, or the church in Egg Harbor Township, what would happen is this letter would be distributed to all of the churches inside of that area. And the letter would be talked about. It would be used as teaching. It would be used as a way of correcting and both commending. And it would say, hey, these are some things we could do better. These are some things that we're going ahead and I just want to praise you in and encourage you in. This book of Philippians was written by this guy named Paul to the church in Philippi. And Paul's writing the letter from prison. And from prison, Paul starts penning these words found inside of verse 4 where it says, rejoice. Can I tell you, if I was in prison, I don't think I would be telling people to rejoice. If you were in prison, I want you to ask yourself right now, what letter would you be writing to people? What would some of the first words be? Because I wouldn't say, hey guys, let's rejoice together. I would say, hey guys, break me out. I don't want to be here anymore. Come on, somebody. I don't want to be in prison. I'm just trying to preach the gospel. I'm writing in there, this is my cell number. Hello, somebody. Bring food. Come on, somebody. Because the meals here are disgusting. Come on, somebody else. And I, by the way, back then, they used to be chained to other people and chained to prison guards. My prison guard smells. Send help. Right? Of all the things he could have talked about, all the things he could have asked for, encouraged the people in, he sits there and says, guys, rejoice. Take joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. And I just want to kick this thing off. Come bail me out, bro. You know that's right. I want to kick this thing off just by asking us a question today. Hey, how's your joy doing? I know I talked about this a couple weeks ago on my soap, and I thought, man, the Lord is definitely speaking to the joy of our hearts, because for him to just continue echoing joy, whoo, I just want to challenge you. And I even question, hey, how's your joy? Like, how, like, really ask yourself, because I've seen people, and forgive me, this isn't at anyone. So if you come up to me and say, why did you talk to me in your, talk about me in your, so I didn't, I promise. But come on, how many times have we encountered people who say, I have the joy of the Lord, but they look absolutely miserable? Come on now. So how many times has that been us? where I've been absolutely miserable. Hey, how you doing? God is good. Yeah, that I know he is, but how are you? I didn't ask how he was. I asked how you were. I know how he is, right? God is good. That's all I got. Hey, rejoice in the Lord. It is so good to press in and say, how is my joy doing today? In the same way we go to a doctor's office, they check our blood pressure, they check all of our vitals, they check how we're doing. Come on, they take some blood work. They figure out what vitamins we need and what supplements we need. I think it's time to do a joy check on ourselves today and start seeing, do I take joy inside of God? Do I take joy inside of what he's doing in my life? Do I take joy and carry joy with me everywhere I go? Because there's one thing that I have personally learned, especially in changing seasons and in the whirlwind of life. My joy can't be predicated on any of my circumstances. Come on now. My joy can't be determined by what's going on. Because if my joy is determined by what's going on, then what's going on can steal my joy. And I want to tell you, God wants to give you an unspeakable, unstealable joy to build your life off of, so that no matter what happens, no matter who comes along, no matter who cuts you off in traffic, or no matter whose shopping cart crashes into yours at ShopRite, come on now, no matter what happens, you have joy inside of the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say again, rejoice. This word rejoice, it's always so intriguing to me, because I think it is so intentional that the Spirit of God put rejoice in there and not just the word take joy. To rejoice really means to do joy again. Come on, to do joy again. And I think that is the nature of joy inside of our lives. Because I don't know about you, but I can be, right? I have these incredible experiences with God. I read my Bible. I sit in prayer. I worship my heart out. And then I walk out of the door and I'm ready to go. I bring this example all the time because it's just so real for me. And I get to Wawa, and when I almost die 8 times and almost get crashed into 12 times, just trying to get to the one parking spot that someone cuts me off in last second. This was my experience yesterday, in Jesus' name. And they cut me off last second to take the spot. I sit there and suddenly I'm not thinking about doing joy again. I'm thinking about I'm thinking about how my coffee has been delayed. Come on now. The parking lot wars are very real. That's exactly it. It feels like a war in the Wawa parking lot. I don't know what we have to do, what oil we have to anoint that place with, but it's vicious. And I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, it's so funny how little things can take our joy so fast. And then the challenge then goes back to us, because here's the reality. Only the things that steal joy from me are the things I let steal joy from me. That's our application for today. If I took joy in that, it will take joy from me. So come on. Yeah, I was at the Malaga Wawa. You know, you know that place is vicious. But what we put our joy in, if I take joy in it, it could take joy from me. So what I'm saying is, don't let anything be your source of joy other than Jesus. I can find joy. I can find joy in my marriage, but guess what? Hello, married people, all of us. Hey, sometimes our marriage is gonna be a little fickle. Come on now. It could be fantastic, and it can feel like a war zone sometimes. And we don't want it to feel that way, right? Let's be transparent at 6:15 in the morning. Sometimes it could feel brutal. However, my joy is rooted inside of Jesus. My marriage experiences the fruit of my joy inside of God. Rejoice in the Lord always. I'm going to continue doing joy over and over and over, and I'm going to choose joy in all circumstances. And I think this is just good for us. Hey, do your joy check today. Where am I at in my joy today? Do I actually genuinely feel like I'm walking around with the joy of Christ inside of me? There is a it's gonna go out to my Sunday school folks, or maybe even like my older saints who grew up in the church. There's this old song that I sing to myself. And if you ever hear me walking around church, there's a good chance I'm singing it under my breath, because I have to continue checking my joy on a regular basis, or I could get a little bit miserable. And hey, that's it. This is me as a pastor speaking. Come on. But there's this old song. Ooh, someone in the chat already got it. I'm going to sing for you. Okay. Don't make fun of me because I can't sing. That's why I chose to preach. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Come on. Yeah, there it is. I've got it down in my heart. And this is the love of Jesus, the joy of Christ that he deposits inside of us, that then comes out of us everywhere we go. Do joy again. All right, I'm done beating this verse up. Let's keep going. Let your graciousness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Another way of saying that is let your gentleness be known to everyone. I want to ask you, inside of your gentleness, or of all the things that you're known for, is being gentle one of them? This was my challenge when I was reading this chapter, because I thought, of all the things that I may be known for, I don't think gentleness is what I'm known for. Come on, somebody, right? Let your gentleness be known to everyone, for the Lord is near. What this verse is communicating is this: God is near to us right now, and he is also returning. So in all things, we want to make sure that we are letting our gentleness be known, because God is close to us. And what I want to press into is, and maybe you relate to me inside of this, many times or sometimes when I face difficult situations, I will let the situation stand taller than necessarily what God wants to give me for the situation. What I mean by this is, when hardship comes, when trials come, when the problem in the marriage happens, when the person is talking about us behind our back, right? Come on now. When we have betrayals, whatever it may be, sometimes I let those things stand a little bit taller than what God wants to give me. I want us to reorient today what we put our faith in, what we put our trust in, because I want everything inside of my life to take a knee at the name of Jesus. Come on now. What this verse is saying is, let your gentleness be known to everyone, for the Lord is near. That means no matter what we have happening, no matter what circumstance is pressing us, we could be hard pressed on every side, yet God is near. This means that he is near and will give me everything I need for whatever I'm going through. I have this value inside of my life that I had to author, because I started finding that I was looking for my needs to be met all the time from other people. I was walking around a little entitled, like people were supposed to do things for me. And I had to check myself, because I started to realize I'm searching in other people what only God can give me. Come on, how many of us are there with me? I'm looking inside of someone what only he can give me. And I want to encourage you today and kind of challenge you. No one owes me anything, because Jesus gave me everything. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Jesus gave me everything. The Lord is near. That's how my gentleness can be known to everyone. That's how my situation, my circumstance doesn't stand taller than what God wants to give me to get through and pass the test in front of us. Come on. That's right. It is all about Jesus. It continues on. Verse 6. These two verses right here, 6 and 7, these go out to all our worry warts. If worry is a battle, hey, this is a good one right here. Don't worry about anything. I remember I was going through a season where I was dealing with a great amount of worry, and someone read me this verse, and I was really just kind of going through it. They said, don't worry about anything. And they didn't say anything else. And I just looked at them and said, that doesn't help me at all. That's not encouraging. Don't worry about anything. But I love this. Ready? But in everything. Come on now. Here we go. But in everything. Here's the remedy. Through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and guard your minds inside of Christ Jesus. Don't worry about anything. some time ago, this was when Shanna was pregnant. So, my baby boy is 4 months old on Saturday. Can't even believe it. 4 months old, laughing his heart out, smiling 24/7, and screaming when he's hungry in Jesus' name. I love this boy. Truly my best friend. He's my little buddy. When she was pregnant, she had discovered a lump or a mass in one of her breasts. And I remember she was telling me about it, like she was kind of giving me the news. And I was like, oh, baby, it's nothing. Don't worry about it. Ready, guys, just me to you. I'm the guy where it's like, it's never the worst case scenario. Like, I am a weird case of half full, half empty glass guy. And it's like, it just depends on what room you find me in. I was like, oh, baby, it's going to be okay. We'll go to the doctors. We'll get it figured out. It's all going to be all right. And she said, can you feel it? I said, sure. And once I felt it, I said, oh my gosh, this, like, it's massive. Like, it's, and all, I, when I say I wanted to throw up, it's like someone punched me in the gut. How many of us, I know 6:22 a.m., getting a little serious, right? 6:22 a.m., how many of us have just received that news that feels like a punch to the gut? It's like, okay, we have some stuff to deal with today. And I said, all right, make the doctor's appointment. We got to go. Well, there was a few things in the pipeline that were kind of like genetics that could really turn this thing into a negative scenario. You know, before test results are even coming back, doctors are trying to prep us the best they could. Hey, with being pregnant and giving birth to a child, you really have to like get ahead with what you may have. Make sure you have a living will. Obviously, have a regular will written. And it's like, as we were planning for the birth of our child, we're also planning for the death of my spouse. And I'm sitting there like, all right, you talk about like a turn of events, right? It's like we're champing and pioneering a little one. Then it's like, oh, shoot, we have this on the other side. And I remember one day I was talking to God. I said, Lord, I have given you everything. There really isn't much I've held back from you. I have moved all over South Jersey for your kingdom. I didn't know what Egg Harbor Township was until you called me to pastor down here, right? I didn't know what this area looked like until you said, hey, son, go. And Lord, we've given it all. There's just not much else. We like, you've got it, God. You know, what more could you want? And then I'm looking and I'm like, why is this happening? And I began to worry. And when I say worry plagued my life, it plagued my life. I would be anywhere and everywhere, and I could start breaking down in tears in a second. Because all I could think was, while I'm planning for something so beautiful, I'm planning for something so morbid at the same time. And it was so difficult to start grieving someone that was standing in front of me. Worry was plaguing my life. And I was in worship and prayer one Wednesday morning. Come on, Fusion Church. I want to encourage you. If you are off on Wednesday mornings, get to worship and prayer. Starts at 9 a.m. at both locations. It is a place where God speaks, where you're just sitting inside of the presence of Jesus. It is a powerful environment to soak yourself in. I'm sitting in worship and prayer, and I just felt the fire of God overcome me. And I sat there and said, you want to know what? Devil, for every tear you make me shed over what possibly could be, is going to be 1,000 souls that you're going to have to give me. Make your choice. And I sat there and decided and drew a line in the sand. And this statement just came out of me. If it's out of my hands, it's going to be out of my head. I'm putting everything at the foot of the cross and I'm giving it all to Jesus. And every time I would begin to worry about what could be, I started taking it and leaving it at the feet of Jesus and saying, God, I can't control this. It's out of my hands. So it's going to be out of my head. And I'm going to do what verses 8 through 9 talk about and dwell on things that are true, holy, honorable, lovely, and pure, what is commendable. I'm going to focus on what I need to focus on. I'm going to stop worrying and letting worry run my life. And I'm going to start living in faith that no matter what it looks like, God, you're in control at the end of the day. Can I tell you something, Fusion Church? It changed everything. I chose that every time I would worry, I have this little God box I have. I wrote down on there, possible cancer, and I put it in there. Every time I'd worry about it, I'd go up to the box, I'd take it out. God, I'm sorry for taking this back from you. I'm putting it back inside of your hands right now because it's already out of mine. Lord, I repent. God, do with it only what you can do with it. I'm so happy to say my wife, when we went to the doctors just recently, the doctor said she's still cancer-free. The doctor said she is as healthy can be. There are just changes in bodies that come with pregnancy. Come on, somebody. And I'm sharing this with you because I have a feeling that so many of us may be encountering places of worry today, might be encountering circumstances that are pressing us, where we just feel pressed on every side. I want to tell you, if it's out of your hands, it's time to just get it out of your head. There is no reason to dwell on it. There's no reason to live inside of the what ifs and the anxiety of life when Jesus is the one that is in control. So I'd rather hand it over to him and say, God, I'm trusting you with what I can't do. Come on now. I'm trusting you with what I can't do. Don't worry about anything, but in everything. And that means everything. Through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds inside of Christ Jesus. So the peace of God, I'm going to share this, and then we're going to close with verses 8 through 9. The peace of God. I want to drive this one home with all of us today, because I have found, I was in a conversation with someone recently, and they said, all I want in my life is peace. I'm so sick of drama. How is there anyone else that's just sick of drama? I'm so sick of drama. I get tired of people drama. I get tired of the arguments. I get tired of just unnecessary stuff, right? There are so many just different like drama pieces that we just kind of get stuck in the loop on. There's drama, drama, drama. And I was talking to this person. They said, I'm just so sick of the drama. I just want to have peace. And I want to live in peace. And in my pastoral counsel to them, one of the first things I said was, hey, you know, I know you and I love you, which is why I'm going to say this. Sometimes your actions and words provoke some drama. That's number one. And they just laugh with me. I was like, I just want to share that with you, because sometimes we got to grow out of it, right? Sometimes we don't just want to grow up, but we want to grow mature, right? Come on, somebody. But hey, peace is not predicated on any circumstance or situation. Peace is not the absence of conflict. Peace is the presence of a person. Peace is the presence of Jesus inside of our life. So if you want peace in your life, if you want peace penetrating everything you do, I want to share with you today. It's not going to be by the absence of conflict. It's not going to be by the absence of the difficult coworker. It is the presence of Jesus in everything you do that is what gets you through. Don't look for the situation to change. Look for the peace of God that surpasses all understanding to guard you. That peace will guard you in supernatural ways that when things come up against you, you will find yourself thinking, how do I have peace about this? That is the peace of God filling your life. Come on now. Peace is presence. Peace is not the absence of conflict. So you want the presence of peace in your life? Get the presence of Jesus in your life. If I want peace, I just have to seek him. If I want peace, I have to press into the word of God, keep on soaping. If I want peace, I got to turn off whatever it is in the car and turn on worship music wherever I'm driving. If I want peace, rather than scrolling this thing right here, because you want to know what? I have never gone to Instagram and said, wow, that gave me so much peace. I've never gotten lost in Instagram reels or gone to Facebook and scrolled Marketplace and afterwards got done and said, oh, I'm just so filled with peace right now. Peace I have found comes from the presence of Jesus. And I have never regretted the moments when I chose to put down the phone, when I chose to put down the whatever and pick up the presence of God and press into him and receive peace. Come on, somebody, right? Peace is the presence of a person. And I'm going to close with this. Verses 8 through 9 says this. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any moral excellence and if there is anything praiseworthy, dwell on these things. Do what you have learned and received and heard from me and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you. Come on, the God of peace is with you. I want to challenge you as we close today with a very simple, simple challenge. Think about what you think about. I took this challenge and I do kind of like a checkup here and there. I will begin to write down the different thoughts I catch throughout the day. When the thought pops up, I have a little notebook. I write down the thought in the notebook. This is what I'm thinking about. This bothered me. This excited me. This made me sad. This made me glad, right? And I like how God addresses our thought life right here. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, honorable, just, come on, dwell on these things. Think about these things. And maybe you're like me today, because I find passages like this so challenging. I had a situation not that long ago. And in that situation, someone said something to me that just really got under my skin. And it was like, in the moment, I knew if I started speaking, I would say things that I really don't mean. And I was like, I just need to shut my mouth right now. And I'll just receive and I'll come back to talk later. And I received what they were saying. And then you know what I did? I went home and I took it with me. And it was when I got into the shower that suddenly all of my best thoughts, comebacks, and statements came back to me. Is there anyone else that's with me here? Because for some reason, I get into the shower and I think my best. Is anyone else with me? Like I got there and it was like, whoo, like it's like as if I can unwind all of a sudden. And you feel like you're in the, what they had, the Mike Tyson and Jake Paul boxing match. It was like all of a sudden I had like a verbal boxing match with the air inside of my shower. And as I'm like working out, Servant Holy Spirit, yeah. As I'm working out all my thoughts, I stopped and said, wow, none of what I'm thinking right now is true because I know the person doesn't think this. None of what I'm thinking now is honorable or respectable. Because I'm not giving that person honor in my own thought life. I'm not thinking about what is just because when I bear false witness inside of my mind, it's not fair to somebody. Come on. I'm not thinking about what is pure because what would be pure would be to seek love between two people. And I'm not thinking about what's lovely because it's not a pleasing aroma to the Lord. I'm not thinking about what is commendable. This is really something to convict. And I sat there and said, I am dwelling on things that I don't need to be dwelling on. Let me then think about what is true, what is honorable, what is just, what is pure. Come on, so many of us have coworkers that we are thinking about conflict with, that God wants to go ahead and change your way of thinking so it can change your life. So I want to challenge you today. Think about what you think about. If you are in a thought life of distress, God wants to speak into it and change the way you think so he can change your life. Think about what you think about. Let your thoughts be true. Let them be honorable, just, pure, lovely, commendable, and moral excellence in anything that is praiseworthy. Because I don't know about you, Fusion Church, I think I want to start dwelling on things that bring me a little more joy because the peace of God is surpassing all my understanding. Amen. Come on, let's pray together. Father, thank you. Lord, I'm so grateful that you're speaking to us today on our levels of joy. You're speaking to us today on thinking about what we think about and pulling us from worry to peace. So Spirit of God, I just ask that you would fill us today. Lord, direct us, guide us. God, help us find our way through the navigation of life, everything from little things to big things. God, I'm so grateful that you care about them. So Holy Spirit, I just pray, speak to us today. In Jesus' matchless name, come on. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Hey, love you guys. Have an incredible, incredible day.